Hello, friends. Your friends are so loud. Day two. It's been a long time. We haven't streamed in a very long time here. And I'm very, very happy. Mux Lux, frickin' bats. Hi, friends. Day two, happy hour, special editions. As somebody asked, I'm like, wait, it's not Friday? No, it is not, because I'm not going to be here on Friday. And then we all get on planes sooner rather than later. And I was like, I haven't talked to Ada this year. I haven't talked to anybody. We did like a whole road to DEF CON last year, and I haven't had time. And I'm certainly not going to try to bother Riverside right now. It is way, way too close to zero day. Welcome. My name is Danny Akoski. This is the Trimark Security Happy Hour stream. You hopefully are watching on YouTube and or Twitch. If you're doing both of them at the same time, kudos to you. I don't know anybody that wants to hear my voice that much, including the people that live in my own home. Oh, welcome. I'm so excited. I'm excited to always have guests. I like talking. I like talking to people and learning things, even if it's things that I'm familiar with. But I'm especially happy about having this particular human, this particular goddess of the goons here to talk about one of my favorite things. freaking bastard, Danny. I like talking. Thank you. I enjoy talking. And I have Brandon's name up here, but apparently he's not joining. And that's fine, because Ada is more than enough for me. Hi, Ada. How are you?
You're very sweet. Thank you.
You are.
That was quite the introduction.
And it still, to my mind, does not do justice to the esteem in which I hold you. You are. So back from, hey, go away, dead mouse. I'm done with you for right now. For anybody who hasn't heard me scream it from the rooftops already and talk about it literally every chance I get, or wear my shirts every chance I get, I am one of the DEF CON goons, and I say that shamelessly, and I'll say it as often as I damn well please, because as I have often said, there are a few things that are in my top three of accomplishments that I've had in my lifetime. One is the day that my wife said yes to her first date. Two is the day that my son took his first breath in the world. And three is the day that I became a goon. My noon year, from the word go. And everything else, literally everything else in my lifetime, any achievement that I've had, any success, any like cool shit, the chasm between those top three and the rest of that stuff is so wide you can't measure it, because nothing else would matter if I didn't have those three things. They're all very, very special to me. I am running into my sixth year. Steve Reagan is here too. Steve D3. What's up, man? Another one of my very, very, very dear friends. I'm running into my sixth year from being involved with DEF CON, as a goon specifically, but I've, from my contest that I've done since DC 25, even through the off years, doing the Discord thing and still trying to remain as involved as I possibly could, and having the heartbreak that was that fully remote year and then like the half remote year. We've been back for quite a bit now. This is the third full year back for me. And, I forget, when did you start the hotline, Ada? Which DC was that? Was that 26?
It was 2018. It was 2 years before the world ended.
Yes. So that's 27. That would have been 26.
This will be our fifth year of running hotline.
Yeah, because I remember the first
sixth year of teaching hotline, because we taught in 2020. And then they told me that there wasn't going to be a DEF CON. And I was like, I asked the students, I'm like, you want to still take this class? And they're like, yeah. So, okay, I guess we're going to still do this.
And we finished
the class.
Yep. And Steve confirmed that was 26. 26 was my, oh, so I originally had started, as a workshop goon under, Megan Wu. And then my noon year was that next year. And I remember when at the very end of the years that we had all ponied up and if we had badges and stuff and we were giving to the hotline members, because this is not, I mean, this is not, this is probably one of the hardest things that I can imagine. I've never been on hotline. But it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Like, how did you get it started? Have you had this idea for a while? Did you have it a long time before you got it off the ground?
No, I didn't. So I was gooning before. This will be my 10th year in gooning.
Oh, Lord.
Alone. So I get the fun patch for 10 year. That'll be a lot of fun for me. Because they're very ceremonious 10 year. And I'd been doing it for 3 years. On my third year, we had an incident in which a woman came forward about an incident that had happened to her to a goon, and he didn't really know what to do about it. And so I had written down, you know how you can write down like little notes about yourself in your registration?
Mm-hmm.
And every year I wrote down like that I have training in mental health care. And so they looked for me, and they said they tried to find me everywhere. And finally, when they found me out, because I was getting off shift, and they were like, hey, we need your help with this. And the lady had already disappeared, because when you go through something traumatic, first thing is to seek safety. And so I'm sure she went back to her hotel room. Like, we looked high and low, never found her. I end up in this weird meeting, because these are all like people that I think of as being much more important than me. In this meeting with like DT and CJ and Priest and all of the higher ups, right? But the only thing I really remember from that meeting is the nurse that they also had there that they were talking to about this incident. And DT's shoes were very sparkly, because I was looking at the floor almost the entire time. And they were like, how can we make it so this doesn't happen again? How can we make it so that it's easier to report things? Like, we have an email address, but people don't use it that much. And I think at some point in time, I was like, well, you know, I used to help run a suicide hotline, suicide prevention hotline. Those are all regional. So like, mine was specific to the region that I lived in. And I'd done that for 6 years. And I was like, I could spin something up very similar to that. We could answer people's questions and help them if they want to report code of conduct violations, or if they just need somebody to talk to. Because even at the time, our little community occasionally has, you know, spikes in people either attempting or committing suicide. And I felt like we could also help be able to talk to, be somebody to talk to for them. And they said, sure. That first year was a little rocky, because after you got the okay, like, yeah, this is a great idea, let's do it. Then you have to continue convincing people for the next 11 months. Trying to get all the things that you need, trying to get people together, starting the training with everyone, and making sure that, you know, the people that you got on staff are prepared. Because I used to teach the suicide prevention hotline class back in my little region. So I figured I'd just, you know, use the exact same training. It has changed quite a lot over the years since this is the sixth year of teaching it. We've added a lot of things that are very DEFCON specific. I've changed the way in which I talk about some things to be very DEFCON specific. And now that training is very honed towards our community. But we take, you know, community members who maybe don't even have any experience in this, but this is just a passion of theirs. Like, they're the people that all their friends are like, oh, you're having a problem, go talk to this person. And so we have a really cool group of people who are some of the most loving, caring people that you'll probably meet at DEF CON, who answer phone calls and help people with all sorts of things.
What are some?
I would say
things?
A lot of it's information calls, but you know.
Oh yeah, so you're getting, so people think that the hotline is like, where's the Blue Team Village?
And that's fine. I think we do help those people most of the time. I think the rule has always been if we get too many of those, that like maybe tell them to go ask an info desk because they are very knowledgeable about those things. And we're only kind of knowledgeable about those things.
By the way, if there's anybody that sees this, rare, but if they do, and you work an info desk, I pledge my undying fealty and loyalty to you. I send so many people to info desk, and like, I know a lot by about day two of the con. This year's a little different because we're in a different location. It might be weirder, but I had Caesar's forums on lockdown, so like, I could usually push people there, but usually go to info desk. I owe them cakes and cookies and like whatever that they want. What are some of the things you had talked about when you go through your training that are DEFCON specific that like you wouldn't in a normal training like this that, like what are some con specific things that you have? And again, I don't know how private the training is. You don't have to give anything away if you want to, keep that privilege, but like anything you can talk about that's DEFCON specific?
So when you work at a suicide prevention hotline, you don't know where that person is. You're not in the same location as them, right? So it's not like if somebody needs help, you can send help, right? That's not a thing. You can try to figure out their location and try to send usually 911. That's about it. But for the most part, you're just trying to talk someone off of a ledge and make them feel well enough to make it to the morning and then call for their local services. But for DEFCON, if someone has broken their leg, we can send goons, right? Like it's a different kind of thing. So you have to prepare people for sort of like incident management. Like somebody's going to call you, they're going to be in this situation, you can dispatch people. What are those services that you need to know about? What do we have local to us? There are usually EMTs staffed somewhere in the conference space. That's an easy one. There are goons everywhere. You can send some of those people to go help. There are services local to Las Vegas that we can call, that we can have assistance for. But you really can't do that on a suicide prevention hotline. But we can do that because we know we're in the same location as these folks. And that makes it a little different. Plus, then you have to add in a lot of things about like professional distance. Like, even if you're sure that that's the person that called in, don't talk to them. They called you in confidence. You don't want to start like trying to be that person's friend in person because that's not what they called for.
Like, hey man, how's the family? Like figuring out who that is. There's a question in the chat. Steve had asked, and this is also I wonder this a lot too. How stressful is it for hotline operators? I can imagine the highs are really high, the lows must be really heavy. Is there a support system for those who support?
So the team leaders get a little extra training. They're for the hotline people. Myself, I've always been the person that people come to sometimes when they're feeling like they have issues. But I think the thing to remember is that there's a certain subset of human beings in this world where we feel at our most useful when people are coming to us for help. And I really seek out those individuals for this position. I think we self-select ourselves for places like suicide hotlines. But also, I think they kind of ended up a lot of them ended up on the hotline. So, that's just a part of the personality, but also, yes, we are here to help. I do have a connection with a registered actual counselor who, has their certifications in, I think it's California, so it's not really Nevada, but still. Because my background is not clinical, So my background is experimental psychology. That doesn't really help. I can like observe you and know things about you, but like I can't help. I'm not that kind of doctor.
So what are, and somebody had actually, I think it was Jesse in chat. Oh, Steve also says DEF CON is incredibly fortunate that you and your team are here to support and thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's, there's no way to like overstate that. Oh my God, I had the question in my head and now it is gone. It was a really good question and I had it. And yeah, so like, that's the kind of thing too. Like other people have heard about the hotline and have asked me about it and things like that. And they're like, oh, I'm really surprised that you're not on the hotline. Cause I'm one of those people that, you know, that you had said those kind of people that people come to talk to and things like that, but I'm not a fit for, and I know that I'm not a fit for the hotline. I'm a fit for the floor.
I mean, you never applied. So.
Yeah. I didn't ever apply, but, and maybe that's me self-selecting myself because I am for the floor. I feel most at home and most at my full efficacy when I'm in person on the floor running interference, helping, being a roadblock if I have to, closing down hallways so you people don't get smushed. I think that's where my most helpful part is. And I would want to be the person that rushes out of the hotline room to go and help. And
yeah,
I
and
think
you can't really do that.
You can't, right? We don't even know where the hotline room is for good reason. Like,
yes.
It is a sanctum. The floor goons don't even know where they are.
I can tell you the story as to why.
Please tell me the story.
Okay, so this is a rule for all suicide prevention hotlines that you're not supposed to know where it exists. That's just a standard rule for every single one of them, and we use that rule. And I can tell you it's because you're dealing with people who are very vulnerable, who are at their lowest, who are, and they're coming to you and they're feeling like they're making this really solid connection. And then they want to find you because you're the person who is nice to them. That's sweet and all until you end up with an individual, this happened on the suicide hotline that I worked for, who figures out what building you're in and then walks up and down the hallways and calls your number and listens for rings until they can figure out where you exist. And then they stalk the room waiting for the person that they talk to leave. And that's super dangerous for us. So the hotline room is known by as few people as possible for that reason.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I get maybe
it's just
in their
safety.
Yeah. I get maybe in their head that they thought that it was something nice or with whoever, but that is incredibly scary. What's the, actually let's go back real quick because this is also a common question. We kind of joked a little bit earlier about like call the info desk for village information. What are the kinds of things that people can feel comfortable knowing that they can call the hotline for?
I mean, we do get some info questions. I do say like use Hacker Tracker and talk to InfoDesk as much as possible because they are going to be your number one sources of information. We can answer some questions, and we do literally have in the, we have a hotline book that has like information in it for us. And we do have, I do have a FAQ, which is like frequently asked information booth questions. so we can answer some of those, obviously. But if you are, if you have a code of conduct violation that you want to make, you need somebody to talk to, and you're not really comfortable talking to people as they meander around the floor, you want somebody who's going to listen and be that empathetic ear to listen to you. That's the best situation to call us for. But they're also trained in like crisis management. So if you have somebody who is just panicking or someone who's, you know, if they're having, you can call for medical, but, you know, we might just call 911 for you or call the EMTs that are on staff for you or send DEF goons. If you don't see a goon and you need a goon, sometimes that's useful. They are trained all the way up to suicide prevention. So if you're feeling low and you just need somebody to talk to, or feeling out of place at DEF CON and you need somebody, you just want somebody that will listen and say, hey, I know where there's, like, you know, a lonely hackers club, or where you can go meet people who have your same interests or whatever that is. I think they're really good at those kinds of things. Yeah. So,
or things like we had on yesterday with Jen from Sober and Cyber. If you're feeling kind of overwhelmed and like you wish you had a place to go, and if your people know about that kind of thing, Mucks in the chat had asked, what can you say, like, what an average amount of calls you usually get?
I would say that changes every year.
Changes every year.
Like the first year we didn't get very many. And then the second year we got a lot more because people suddenly knew we existed. And that was mostly a matter of, like, people not knowing that this was a service yet. But slowly everybody kind of got to know that we were there. And then 2020 happened and everyone kind of forgot about us again.
Sure.
And so we kind of had, and I eventually looked at the logs too about that, because I was like, it felt like we had a lot less calls, but apparently we didn't have the same amount we had in 2018. Still, when we came back, we had slightly more than that. These days, I forget the exact numbers. I have them written down somewhere. I would say we get, last year, I would say we would have gotten about 40 or 50 calls a day,
mm-hmm.
Which is totally fine. Like, we have enough people on staff. We have enough, the ability to answer multiple calls at once. You can also text. You can also use Signal with our phone number. You can also contact us on DEF CON or on Discord, because the hotline room is on the DEF CON Discord.
Oh, nice.
So there's lots of ways to get a hold of us. SMS didn't work last year, which really hurt our numbers a bit. It, like, boosted the number of phone calls we got by a lot, but even if you texted it at all, no one would respond to you because we didn't have texting.
So, I know for me, it is very taxing. Like, so I've been on staff at other cons too since I've been a goon, but every year I learned something new about how far my threshold is to handle stress and different ways. And we have such wonderful, I can't overstate it enough, the amount of different expertise that we have, from medical to crisis management to like de-escalation among the goon team leads and the shift leads and things like that. I've learned so much. My most stressful one, and this is leading to a question for you, it's not just about me, I know that, deep down I know that, was that first full year back when we were still had the mask policy. I didn't even come close. I did cry, because it was so stressful getting people to mask, and even the ones that wanted to and couldn't because we weren't getting the supplies weren't coming as quickly as we needed them, and there were so many people. And you had to, like, I remember just, like, having to wring myself out of stress after even that first day. By Sunday, I was fine. How do you stay motivated through the con? Because this is not only physically taxing, I imagine it's incredibly mentally taxing, even at a half that pace of 20 calls or whatever. How do you stay motivated and above water?
I mean, the team has a lot of cohesion. That helps a lot because they take the class beforehand, right? And they have to take the class every 3 years. But then there's practice, too. So, like, there's a fraction of the team that is taking the lecture section. But then everybody comes back for practice. And the people who are there, when everybody's there together, you kind of get to know each other a little bit, right? Like, you're working on understanding what kinds of questions we're usually going to get. You're getting to know each other a little bit and your personalities. But then you're stuck in a room together for 8 hours, right? Like, during that time, you usually get to know each other pretty well. And so that team cohesion is really big. I think that keeps a lot of them motivated because, you know how we have the chickens, right?
Oh, I'm aware.
Somehow, Hotline decided that their thing is like little ducks, like
Oh,
these
that's
kinds.
cute.
And they have like whole mythologies about rubber duckies now, because they like one team will set up an elaborate display of duckies, and then the next team will come in and be like, "What happened?" So it's just kind of like a weird, fun thing that happens over time. But I think that helps a lot because it's not just you, right? Right? It's you and your whole team. And everyone is kind of there for each other and supporting each other and making sure that even if you do take a tough call, right, you have somebody to talk to right afterwards because you're talking about that call immediately. They do have confidentiality rule, like if they tell anybody about the calls that they're on, they will. And I have removed one person for this, for talking about a call outside of the hotline room. But they can talk to each other about the calls, right? Because they're all under the same confidentiality clause. So, they talk with each other about how things went. And I think that support system that's there for them is really good. Like, we are a support system for the community, but we're also a support system for each other.
Right.
For me personally, I have done a really bad job of caring for myself during DEFCON, especially that first year when I was on 24/7, because we were such a small team. And so I would, and we didn't have team leaders and we didn't have people in charge, it was just me. And so I was working from 7 a.m. to 4 a.m. with like 2 hours of sleep. I do that a lot less now. Usually I leave, for the last few years, I would leave like night shift up to themselves a little bit. And a part of that was just like, we get less calls on night shift. Things happen to people at night, they call in the morning,
Right.
right? And a part of that was just like, I can't do all this. I have to do a little less of some of it. So I kind of stepped away a little bit more during the night. This year, I have a second in command who will be taking over during the evenings so I can do a little more caring for myself than I have in the past. But I do find that the team's very supportive. If I have to do tough things, but also, like I said, I'm one of those people that like I feel best when I'm being helpful to other people. And so it's a little bit of a mood boost just for me to be there trying to help people who are in crisis to get to a place where they feel not like good, not better, but okay
Right.
again.
Better than they were when, for the reason that they called you.
Yeah, at least safe, and like someone listened to them. And so those things do keep me motivated a little bit on their own.
Yeah. Mine is and it's actually it's funny that we talk about this because I was supposed to have a noon, which, by the way, for people who don't know, is a new goon. Because we bring new people in all the time and we nominate them and we come in. And he ended up having a conflict, something at work or whatever. And he had said to me, he goes, "Oh, you know, I really wish I could make, you know, this case to my CISO or whatever, because they don't really see the whole value. They just see it as hanging out at con or whatever." And I was like, "I will happily write your CISO a note for you." Because, and I feel so passionately about it, of it is so much more than people than I had ever imagined as just a regular attendee of that group care for each other and being, and I'm exactly like you, Ada. I find my best moments of being there for other people. Like it could be end of shift, 14 hours later, But I don't care if I'm getting off. You need a break. You haven't had a break for a while. I am now energized giving you that break. Like, I need you to go sit. And when I have my moments, and obviously they're long enough, I've made friends and close friends, and they can recognize, like, oh, Rando looks a little rough. Like, here's a little bit of, like, a shoulder rub. Or, like, hey, man, you okay? Here's a thing of water. Like, it's the constant looking out for each other, and which is the only way that this or the hotline or anything would be able to happen, because one person alone will just fold in on themselves. But having that group to, like, really share that load is so important. I've carried that lesson from the 6 years I've been doing this to other business teams I've been on, jobs that I've had. I've never had to manage people quite yet, but, like, still reaching out to other teams going, hey, you okay? Like, the other thing that I really, really like is, and I learned this, one of the first lessons I ever learned, and I carry this with me everywhere, of never assume somebody knows something important that they're supposed to know. Like, even if it goes out over the radios, you'll see people who have come to DEF CON, you'll see goons have little radios, and we talk to each other, and that's how we communicate and get things done. But just because it goes out over a radio, that next goon you see, hey, did you hear that thing? It was an important thing. And then then they go tell the next person. You can never have too much of that. And I carry that everywhere. And it's amazing at how often that message that people are supposed to have heard didn't carry. And they're thankful that you told them that. Like, that's part of that support system. By the way, Mux in chat asked if that little duck you held up, is that a resin duck?
I got them online, but they're little resin earring ducks. Yeah.
She has made, she started making resin ducks in 2018. And she had said, she'd been doing this in 2018 and ever since, and been yeeting them at people and goons. Find her at DEF CON.
Oh, by all means, if you have little ducks that you want Hotline to have, we will take them.
One of my other favorite things you had talked about, like the duck shrine or whatever, the thing that,
yeah.
My favorite thing. And this is, again, fun things, interesting things, but also I've come to know it as ways that people blow off that energy. My first year, I remember going at the end of year to QM, and they had the shrine of broken stuff or whatever. It's cool and it's funny, and now I realize, like, that's also a way that we squeeze out the stress. Like, we build things and make cool shrines. Mux says, absolutely, I have tons for you guys, always. So that's at con, and making sure that you take care of yourself and making sure that your people are taking care of each other. Do you do anything special for yourself after con, like when you're home? I know some people, like my friends in workshops, like they immediately fly to Tahiti or something, like they take a vacation. Do you have any traditions for yourself that maybe even, like, in those moments you're like, I don't know if I can get through literally another hour of this, but I got this thing after con. Do you do anything like that?
It's CabanaCon for me, but that's...
Is it? Yeah.
That's a goon thing.
Yeah. The goon soup.
Well, and also because you're not allowed to drink on shift.
Yeah.
And I'm always on shift.
Yeah.
So I don't get to let loose until Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Sunday evening and then Monday. So that's my time to chill.
There's another story that I had just thought of, and it was... And just when I had thought that I had learned, you know, a whole lot, and I was like, oh, I'm getting kind of good at this thing. It was kind of like where my duties as being on floor, and maybe this is like something Hotline-esque that also happened. There was I was there to witness this person have. I had never seen, and imagine trying to deal with this. Right? I'm talking to everybody else, not you, Ada, because you don't have to imagine this. You've done this. But imagine, like, only being able to be on a phone with somebody having, I've never seen a legit PTSD episode before. And I can't, like, it was so, I was frozen. I was absolutely frozen. And luckily there were other goons around me that were very skilled in that. And it was goddamn work of art to watch it happen. And I feel better as just, if I was a regular attendee, as somebody associated with the con, knowing that these goons exist, they were so good and so professional and were able to calm this person down and give them water and talk to them, not just in a soothing way, but in a very targeted, specific way to make sure that they felt as safe as possible. And it's I talk about this stuff all the time, like, and I hope people never have to realize how much of this, how much people give of themselves, because they're not supposed to. They're supposed to be there to have a good time and have a good conference and learn things and meet new people. I hope they never have to experience any of this, but I want them to know that people like you exist and that the hotline exists and there are talented people. Another Mux has a lot of questions. Do the hotline have any? So goons are very tradition heavy, which is, it means the world to me to be a part of it. Like, traditions out the ass. I love it. Does the hotline have any traditions?
Well, hotline is born out of SOC, right? So a lot of our traditions are SOC traditions. I think duckies literally came out of chickens, right? So, I mean, we do, you know, coins, we do patches, we do badges, same as you guys, because I think we're all a part of the team looking to make sure that everyone is safe. That's the whole point, right? And we try to make sure that everyone is living the one SOC team kind of mentality. So a lot of the hotline stuff ends up being SOC stuff.
Yeah.
We do want to make sure that, you know, SOC is calling us when they need us, and we are able to go on site and meet with you guys if you need us, and all of those things. So I think the one thing that really is hotline specific is the ducks. and like I said, I think it comes from chickens. I think it's because, you know, these guys are everywhere.
Well, the chickens were getting a lot of heat for they were getting heat, so he had to shrink them down to ducks.
And these guys are you know,
they're harmless.
Smaller, much smaller. Don't bring your giant one, please.
She's
please
right there. She's behind. You could see her blue neck. I won't bring. I was so excited. Anyway, hold on. 1 second. I'm gonna grab it because I don't. Maybe somebody. People have.
It's too big. It's too loud. And that's
don't
what
worry,
got us.
She's not coming. But you can see the scale. I brought her. She actually has a name, which I've since forgotten. It got named by an attendee that I... Oh, no. It got named by one of the Caesars employees. That was super helpful, and she was very nice. Yeah, freaking Beth says, oh, Lord. I'm not going to... No, Syntax, it's not Friday. It's a special edition. You're not paying attention. Just sit there and be quiet. This I got at a candy store, local. I don't know why. And look at the baby.
It's a light too.
Oh, I wish she looked. I'm barely touching her right now. So, but in hindsight, listen, I was very excited to be back. I hadn't been that as I was just very excited. And this is also a good crowd control, like directing people.
No. Yeah,
all right. Anyway,
doesn't know how to be quiet.
Doesn't know. And of course, people were just like rabid, and I was squeezing and giving big long down the hallways all weekend. And I thought it was fine. There was a couple comments on Reddit like, "The goon with the chicken was a dick," and I was like, "I'm just trying to have a good time." And
it's
then
just so loud,
and it didn't help that all the other goons were just like, "Yes, let's make it louder. Let's put a bullhorn in front of its mouth and make it even."
Oh no!
That was Siviak, I think, that did that. And then at the very end, of con, I was getting off shift. I was headed back to the SOC. I was done, and I see Nikita, and Nikita is at the she's at the info booth. Luckily, thank God, like, her and I had been friends for a few years, so, like, this wasn't as bad as it could have been. But she was sitting doing info booth duty at the bottom of the escalators in Caesar's Forum. She's like, "Randa, come here." I was like, "Nikita, I hadn't seen her really all year." And she looks at me, as sweet as she could possibly be, she goes, "I haven't seen you. I miss you. I do love you. But if you squeeze that thing one more fucking time, I'm going to beat you to death with it. Put it in the sock." And I was like, "You got to pause." And then that was when I realized the cloud in euphoria had kind of lifted, going, maybe this thing is obnoxious to some people.
It's just too loud.
It is. And I was but whatever. So yes, I will keep her at home, and she understands. She knows she's not everybody's cup of tea.
I feel like this guy is still
yeah.
Still a little loud, but not nearly as loud.
No. And I have one. Last year I had one.
Definitely
I had
not as loud.
Yeah. I had
that. This guy is almost impossible. Fuse.
I have a bunch of the middle ones hanging in my barn in like nets. But no, even that guy right there that you just had, I had him hanging as like a badge. And that was fine. There's little chickens. This guy doesn't hang so much. Blue chicken is in timeout. Even Mux is like, oh my God, I remember that blue. So anyway, that's that. Well, Ada, I started this show singing your praises, and I have not stopped, and I will never stop, because you're one of the first people I ever encountered on my noon goon journey, and you have had a profound impact, not just on me, but I hope you realize it, and I hope you're told this enough, of the profound impact that you, with your idea to do this, has impacted the biggest hacker conference in the world. Thousands of people, even if they don't call you, even if you get a fraction of those calls, these things, and I know that you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway, the effects ripple, right? Those are felt for a millennia, because the person that you helped and now hopefully is still around and can help other people, and it goes and it goes and it goes. That's you. It's you and it's your team. And it's the most special thing that I can possibly think of for this wonderful, wonderful event that we call DEF CON. Bats, second time, I'm sorry I missed your question. To close this out, how can we best support the hotline and the hotline team members? What do you need from us? What can we do?
I mean, I guess for me, it's always about getting the number out. The more people we help, the better work we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's always been a struggle for me trying to get the number out. We always had stickers. We always have postcards at the info booths. Last year, they claimed they were going to put a business card in every single packet. So they bought us 30,000 business cards. And then they decided they weren't going to put them in packets. So I got 30,000 business cards that we started putting in the bathrooms so that people could grab them there. We still have a lot of those from last year.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that again this year. But
in chat,
just trying to get the number out there as much as possible so that people know that we are here to listen. We are here to help people.
Is there any way to get involved, the number involved on the badge at all that gets made, or is that a whole nother?
No,
They won't do that.
Because then also people would think we were a contest.
Yeah. You put anything on a badge that people have to unlock and mess around with and get to blink and stuff, they're going to think it's some kind of flag.
We did get several messages last year of people asking if we were a contest because of the cards in the bathroom.
Oh, really?
And I was like, people, the hotline folks were like, can we get people to not call us about this? And I was like, don't worry about it. Just, it's fine. It's fine.
Well, okay. So you heard it. This is the way. This is get the number out. I assume we're gonna have stickers in the sock that we can hand out this year.
Yep.
Okay.
Goons always have stickers, and info booth always has postcards.
Mux also asked, can you sign up as a goon to do this?
And I always tell people, because I can never remember who's asking, if you would like to be a part of Hotline, to message me in February when I start doing interviews. I usually put out a call in February on Mastodon, and then I send it to you, and you post it to your many, many, many followers, since I don't have that many, many followers. And then, you know, that goes out and people can apply. There's an interview process and then a selection process, because we don't have that many seats from year to year.
Yeah.
This year we had three, so.
It is the one thing that I try to use my paltry platform, like my play pretend platform on Twitter to do. If I can do any good, I will use it for that. Actually, I have a friend of mine who has, yes, Mux. No, not sorry for all the questions. You're crazy. Ask it. Erase. Matt's like, erase, erase, erase. No, not sorry for all the questions. Ask as many questions as you want. But yes, I'm going to put it in my calendar. I have calendars of like when certain things happen, and which, if people didn't realize it, this thing is planned. Like, everything about DEF CON is planned the entire year long. Like, by the time the closing ceremonies happen, they've already been planning for the next year. So
training starts in March, and we train for 5 months now. It is an elaborate situation. I mean, it's an hour a week, but still. You are basically saying that for the rest of the summer, you're going to hang out with us.
Yeah.
So...
It's yeah, it's not like a 1 hour webcast where they're like, all right, here's how you answer a phone. Like, this stuff's important. So I put things like that in my calendar where I say beginning of February, reach out to Ada. Hey, are you doing it? Cause I got people that want to do this. So yes, absolutely. And I always put a premium on people. And cause this was my personal thing very early on. My first one was DEF CON 24. So I'm not an old head by any means. Like, I'm only pushing 8 years now, but like, from my very first one, I had this intense desire to not, and I'm not saying like just or whatever, because we love our attendees, or like, you're the reason that we do this, but I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to do a thing in the background that made it better for everybody else. That's how I con, and I think that's how I'm going to do it until I'm old enough and infirmed enough to not do it. But yeah, so the hotline at the bottom of the screen. If you have a Twitter, social media, LinkedIn, whatever the mastodons and the blue skies and things like that, that is the best way to support them and to get that number out. I'm going to continue to do it every single day up to and through con. Ada, you're wonderful. You know that I think the world of you, and I always will. And we are just so much better off for you, being in and around us. And I can't wait to see you. It's so close right now. But yes, so for everybody else, defcon.org, the forums are where they do a lot of the business. You can read up on things on the forums, the different contests, the different events. Your goons are everywhere. We have, and by the way, a lot of people don't know this. There are different departments of goons. Like, we are one goon, but there's info booth. There are arts and entertainment, contests and events. The sock are the ones that you see on the floor and directing people and sorry to close hallways when we don't want you to die, but, find a red shirt. The red shirts are never going to steer you wrong. Make sure they say goon on it. Like, just don't find a random foreigner with like a red shirt and be like, help me. Civiac, we are everywhere. God, I love him. I just, every time I see his name pop up, my heart sings. But yes, find us. We are everywhere. And even, this is also another important thing. Even when we're not, when we don't have a red shirt on, but you know who we are, find us. Ask us, because we'll find a red shirt for you. Always be gooning. It's what we live by, and you find me and you find anybody else that you know is a goon. We also have off-duty shirts, but I'm not going to spoil that. You can figure that out on your own. But we're always gooning. We will always stop and help you, and we'll figure that out. Like, we're never truly off shift. Ducky's here too. Ducky's, we are Legion. I want love too. Ducky, I got like 8 minutes. But this is supposed to be about Ada. But now you start talking about goon culture and I start glowing.
I've started telling people though that if they ask a red shirt for something and the red shirt says that they don't do that, just ask another one.
Yeah.
Because like... that means they probably found the wrong shirt, the wrong red shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And now I have seen that there are like village goons and things. And like, by the way, you're a goon, like find another one. That's not the answer you're going to get from all of them. That should never be the answer you get from any of them.
They should be like, oh, let me help you find one that's going to help you. But that's not what they do. So
right.
All the time. And some of them do. They've been getting better at it, I think.
But. Yeah, because then every time I hear about those things, I go into that village and I'm like, hey, you can call us. I'm nice. You can call us and ask us. Like, tell it, like find one of us. We're like, we are there. It's the same thing that we preach in job interviews, right? Like somebody asks you a question. You could say, I don't know, but I'm going to help you find out. That's all you have to do. And that's what we pride ourselves on. Ducky, real quick, Ducky's in the chat. Another very special goon in my history. I've done every year that I've been on site, aside from like the plague years, I have done LineCon. And I love LineCon. I actually love getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning because line con's my favorite shit at the whole time. And my first year, Ducky was so kind to me as my little noon self. He gave me this water bladder and I've used it every year since. And I've tried to use other backpacks, but they don't fit my bladder. So I refuse to use them. I'm only ever going to use that. I take it on my long walks. I use it damn near every day. And at one point I thought about gifting it to like another noon. But now I'm so hopelessly emotionally attached. It's my emotional support bladder. So I can't get rid of it. But Ducky gave that to me. And someday we're actually going to go ride motorcycles together. But anyway, I say all that not only for story time, but like, this is how we exist as goons, and we're there to help. The hotline is there to help. The number is right there. The stickers will be everywhere. You need help, reach out. That's exactly what we are here to do. If for nothing else, we annoy people with chickens, but we're there to help. So A to Zebra.
We're fun enforcement.
We are the fun enforcement. You are going to have fun. God damn it.
And I don't know about you. This has definitely been my experience. I don't remember the, like, farming lines up, making sure people are going in the right direction. I remember the, like, people who needed my help that I helped,
yeah.
Right? Like, I remember the people I gave Band-Aids to. Like, I remember the people who, my first year was Harris Bally's. And I don't know who remembers that particular location, but there was that little circular rotunda that led into the Paris, right? That used to get backed up, just terribly backed up. And this was my first year regular gooning, like floor, like being on the floor. And there was a backup in that space. And we heard over the radio, there's EMTs on one side of this and somebody who needs them on the other side. And I remember this specifically because this person that I handed my bullhorn to got immediately gooned. And I didn't, because we were like at the that little circular information desk and I was too short to get up on top of it. So I told her, I'm like, use my bullhorn, get up on top of the desk, make traffic go. And she did. And then she got gooned.
But the other one told me.
That's like the times you remember, right? You remember being like there when somebody needed your help. The EMTs needed to get to this person that needed your help, right? You remember that time.
Yeah.
You don't remember like every other time you had to clear out that space.
No, I love it. That's mine too. And yes, I consider it part of my goon privilege. If I see, especially because I love kids and I love when parents bring their kids. If you have a stroller, yeah, you're getting a line for, like cut for yourself. I'm making sure people that are in wheelchairs, like we have, who runs the active disability initiative?
The HDA?
Yeah.
Delchi.
Yeah, Delchi. Huge shout out to Delchi. Love that dude. It does so much for to make sure that people have access when they have disabilities. Syntax, Delchi, Civiac, Delchi.
I talk with him a lot every year because we get phone calls when, you know, elevators don't work.
Yeah.
And and people are stuck in their wheelchairs in different places. We get those phone calls too.
Yeah. And yeah. And even it, like Ducky just said, we love LineCon for humans. And this is why he infected me with his love of LineCon, among other things, just being the first contact for a noob at the con. Like my favorite thing when I'm gooning a line for a track is just talking to people and saying, raise your hand if this is your first con, and like seeing more and more hands go up every year. Civiac, goons are the buffer between fuck around and find out. I also just reminded myself, this is my company stream. So, but yes. And by the way, the other thing is people might wonder like, hey, why is like a vendor doing this? It's because our boss also loves the goons and we are very community minded. So when my dumbass says, hey man, you mind if I just do whatever I want on the stream with your name on it? And he says, absolutely. Because he loves this. Sean Metcalf, founder and CTO of Trimark. He is a hacker's hacker And so, yes, he owns a company. He is the CEO, but he came of us. He is part of us. And when we have initiatives like this, he says, use our platform for this. I love that you do this. And I love that we spread those words. Other things are these ointments and leeches for that. All right. I actually must go. I have another meeting I have to get to. But God, I could end up talking about this. I'm going to see you, Ada. I love you so much. Siviak, Ducky, Syntax, I'm going to see all you guys real soon. And if you would indulge me, we have a little closing screen. And if, again, trimarksecurity.com, hub.trimarksecurity.com. We got blogs, we got resources for Microsoft Cloud, Active Directory assessments, Trimark Vision. We got all those things. Sean's going to be in Vegas this year. He has a bunch of office hours. You want to talk to the one and only Sean Metcalf. He's got office hours open. And we're having a meetup, by the way, on, I believe, Friday night at the Link Bar. And so you get to meet Sean. We'll all be having drinks and having fun. So for myself and everybody at Trimark, everybody in chat, this was so much fun, and I can't wait to see you guys, and I'll see you real soon.
See you Monday.
Play my music. This is where I leave the mics hot and complain about how my music doesn't play because I'm trying to make this perfect.